ॐ वसुदेव सुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दोग्धा गोपालनन्दनः पार्थो वत्सः सुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महत् मूकं करोति वाचालं पङ्गुं लङ्घयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वन्दे परमानन्दमाधवम्. वि आर् स्टडियिङ्ग् दिस् मोस्ट् मार्वलस् चाप्टर् आफ् दि भगवद्गीता 15th चाप्टर् काल्ड् पुरुषोत्तमयोग. In our last class, we have dealt with two particular shlokas describing the Akshara Purusha, that which is beyond Kshara and Akshara, Uttama Purusha. He who comprises both the Kshara and Akshara. In the 17th verse, the Lord is clearly telling, after giving an introduction in which Krishna divided the entire universe into three parts, Kshara, Akshara, and Uttama Purusha, that which is beyond infinite, but which contains both Kshara and Akshara. What does it mean? There is another being, and it is the highest. And it is called the Supreme Self, Uttama Purushaha, who, as the immutable, pervades all the three worlds and sustains. In simple words, he is the creator, he is the sustainer, as well as he is the dissolver. Now, before we go further, I would like to add a note here that whenever we experience anything, we experience two types of differences. First of all, we see there is a tree, for example, an animal, a bird, an insect, a human being, etc. Then within each one of these species, there are almost infinite varieties. Not really infinite, but beyond count. And within each individual, there is that marvelous differences are there. For example, here is a baby and he is a child, then he is an adolescent, is a youth, middle-aged, old age, decayed, diseased, healthy, and finally death will be there. So, everything we perceive is changing. Now, earlier also, I mentioned that there are three important words we have to remember. One word is called Satyam, that which alone was, is, and will be, and it is immutable. Mutable means changeable. Immutable. It is Avyayaha, imperishable. But what about the world? That's what the Lord said. The world can be divided into, again, two categories, Kshara and Akshara. What is Kshara? Kshara means everything is changing, but it doesn't mean destruction. Perishable is the English translation of the word Kshara. By that word perishable, even by this word death, subject to death, death is a change. That is a very important Vedantic concept. Just as birth is a change, growth is a change, and old age is a change, death also is a change. What does it mean? That object which undergoes these things, it doesn't become non-existent, but it changes its form. And so there is no real destruction. There is no something called non-existence. So pure existence and something there is. We use the word non-existence, but such a thing never exists at all, but seemingly existing, seemingly changing. That is the meaning of the word kshara. We have to keep a note of it. Nothing becomes non-existent, but it changes. Is this change real? There also the Advaita Vedantic view is, no, it's not really changeable. It appears to be changing. Gaudapada deals with this subject very beautifully, and he says, you take a stick which is glowing. There is only one glowing tip. But if you whirl it round and round, you can make a circle. And if you move it fast enough, it gives the illusion that there is a square, there is a circle, there is a triangle. You can create a man, a dog, etc., etc. In Vedanta, there is nothing which becomes non-existent, but seeming existence, according, of course, to Advaita Vedanta. So Bhagavan Krishna had divided, earlier we have seen, the whole universe into two. What are that? Kshara Purusha, that which is continuously undergoing change, modifications, and that which is continuously witnessing the change in the form of Kotastha Purusha. That's what he called Akshara Purusha. Akshara means imperishable. Kshara means perishable. That word perishable is an unfortunate word because it brings wrong connotations to our mind. So we say changeful. Everything is changeful. And Akshara, Jivatma, it never changes because it is continuously witnessing, following the law that to cognize something is changing, that cognizer should never be changed. He cannot change. A non-changing cognizer alone can take note of changes, any change that takes place. Okay. So, this is the important word that we have to keep in mind. So, there are two things. One is continuously changing and another is continuously unchanging but witnessing, called Kutastha also. That is called Jivatma. One, that which is changing, is called the perishable thing, Kshara Purusha. It is very interesting to note, even when it is, Bhagavan Krishna is using the word Kshara, he adds Purusha. Purusha means that which can never be changed. That means a Purusha who seems to be changing is a Kshara Purusha. And another Purusha who seems to be unchanging, that is in the form of Jivatma, that is another Purusha, Akshara Purusha. But the real truth is that which is appearing as changing and unchanging both, it's a play of the mind, but really it doesn't change at all. The substratum, the Adhisthana, can never change. And that is what very most important, that third Purusha. Now, again I have to sound a note of caution. A moment we say Kshara Purusha number 1, Akshara Purusha number 2, Uttama Purusha number 3. These numbers like Jagrat, Svapna, Sushupti and Turiya, these are not really numbers. One seemingly changing, another seemingly unchanging, and another is the substratum where this drama, the cinema of seeing, changing, seemingly changing, seemingly unchanging is going on. Just as you know, I'll give a small illustration. Always we have to take this illustration, the big lump of salt. What is the illustration? You're watching a movie. And then suddenly you see that there is space is there. and lots of clouds are moving. What is moving? Lots and lots of clouds, different colored clouds, different sized clouds, against what background? Against the background of Akasha, space. Birds are flying, they are changing. But what is my illustration? This is a cinema, on the cinema screen. So, you take off the screen, everything disappears. Keep the screen, then only you see. So, the unchanging space, the changing objects against that background of the space, and the screen, which is manifesting, making itself completely invisible, unknowable as it were, I do not exist. We see only the space, sky, we see the clouds, but without that background, it's impossible. Before this cinema projection was done, screen was there. After the cinema is over, screen will still be there. What about during the projection? The screen will always be there. Without the screen, we cannot see anything at all. But it becomes invisible as it were. But even though it is there all the time, same screen, before, afterwards, and in between. I hope this will give this Uttama Purushai, the screen, against which the unchanging Jivatma is experiencing all the changeable objects. If we can grasp this idea, what is the final conclusion? Everything in this world is Paramatma, and all the Jivatmas who are experiencing this huge cosmos, he is also Jivat. He is also only a manifestation of that Paramatma, but they are all like movie pictures on the completely unmoving infinite screen called Uttama Purusha Paramatma. So, that is what he is going to tell us. Uttama Purusha to Anya, like the screen, there is another Purusha as distinguished from Kshara and Akshara, the perishable and the imperishable, and his name is Paramatma. And what does he do? Yolokatrayam Avishya. Just as the screen or the light pervades every object, the sky also, the space also, and every cloud, every object that is seemingly moving, it is the screen only. There is not a separate object called the bird, the clouds, the space, etc. So, this Paramatma, he pervades lokatrayam avishya. That means, he is creating the world, he is sustaining the world. How is he sustaining? This avyayaha, imperishable, ishvaraha, ruler, creator, sustainer, bibharti, he is sustaining. He is the creator, he is the sustainer, and he also afterwards withdraws all these things into himself as it were. So, that is the essence of the 17th verse. Then we also dealt with 18th. Yasmakshara matitoham aksharad apicha uttamaha ato asmi loke vedecha prathitaha purushottamaha. Same idea, but slightly elaborated in this 18th verse. As I transcend both the perishable and the also I am higher even than the imperishable. I am extolled in this world, well known in this world and in the Vedas also as the Supreme Self. That is what he is telling. Purushottamaha. This word Purushottama, Purusha. Purusha means he who pervades everything. And Uttamaha means this is the final word, the infinite Purusha, the eternal Purusha. Because infinity and eternity means changeless, beyond time and space, I am called Purushottamaha. Why is he called Purushottama? Because I contain the Kshara Purusha, which is the entire experienceable objective universe. I also contain the Jivatma, who who is experiencing as an unchangeable consciousness, but limited by the upadhis, limiting agents. So in this world, there are only two things, not billions of things, the experiencer and the experienced. And finally, this distinction between the experiencer and the experienced, both of them are nothing but the pure Paramatma. I gave the illustration earlier, when you, the one person, lies down on a bed and goes and dreams, what are you doing? You are creating a dream world, Swapna Prapancha, and there you created yourself as the experiencer and the entire world, any number of people, birds, animals, trees, plants, rivers, oceans, sky, panchabhutas, etc., everything. And you and everything you experience, experiencer and experienced, subject and object. And then you think, everything, I am separate, you are separate, he, she is separate, everything is separate from everything else. But you wake up, as soon as you wake up, you understand, I myself have created this entire universe. Who sustained it? You sustained it. How long did you sustain it? Until you woke up. So this is a marvelous way of understanding this particular 18th verse in the form of understanding the dream. So the Purushottama, the Brahman, the Paramatma, also called Ishvara, he creates both the experiencer and the experienced. But without me, there will be neither the Jivatma nor the Jagat. Jiva and Jagat are absolutely one and the same. And what am I called? Purushottamaha. Why is this explained? So that each one of us must understand the Jagat also is Paramatma. I am also Paramatma. There is nothing other than Paramatma. There is nothing other than Sat, Chit and Ananda. So that is what we have to understand. So what happens when a person truly understands, even intellectually, a sadhaka goes on practicing, goes on discriminating, goes on eliminating all the differences. What is sadhana? Elimination of differences. Another way of looking at it, elimination of differences. Another way of looking at it, removing all undesirable thoughts and having only desirable thoughts. How many desirable thoughts should be there? Only one. Because the desirable object is only one. Even when we are desiring any number of worldly objects, we are only actually after only one desire. What does it mean? It means, you know, a man says, I want to eat sweet. Does he want sweet? No. He wants happiness through that sweet. I want savory. Does he want savory? No. I want that happiness to enjoy, to be happy. Then why does he want savory? Because sweet enhances the taste of savory, and savory enhances the taste of the sweet. This contrast is necessary. So everything is contrasted. Good and evil, and gain and loss, victory and defeat, hunger as well as satiation of the hunger. So waking state, dream state, dreamless state, everything has only one purpose. What does a jiva want to do in waking state? I want to be happy. What does he want in the dream state? I want to be happy. And what does he do in the deep sleep state? I am happiness. Instead of saying I want happiness, he will experience unbroken happiness. That's why that state, deep sleep, is called Sushupti, Anandamaya Kosha. I slept well. I was so happy. I became completely relaxed. I am ready again to enter into the waking and dream state. Why do you want to enter? So that I can be prepared again to go into that Sushupti state. Here is a dependency. If somebody says, I will not work hard, he will neither have good sleep nor good dreams. Nothing will happen. We have to pay for everything. Hard work is the payment. So, Jiva doesn't want anything. He has only one desire. I want to be, I want to know, and I want to be happy. And these three in one in three, is the only one desire, not thousands of desires. But he thinks that he wants many things, but everything has to be squeezed in the form of happiness. This is what is said. When a person, through the grace of Guru, through the grace of scripture, and through the grace of the mind, and through the grace of God. This is also a wonderful point. When we are in earnestness, as a result of many, many lives of leading a life according to the directions of the scriptures, the first part of the scriptures called righteous life, dharmic life, then mind becomes pure. What does it mean? It understands that many things are worthless, only one thing is worth, and that is God. Having obtained that one, the moment that discrimination comes, it is followed by dispassion. I don't want anything else, because everything leads to more suffering. I want only one thing that leads me to unbroken happiness, which is in simple terms called God. So having got that one, he yearns for that. And then God bestows his grace in the form of the Guru. And the Guru's teaching through Shravana, Manana, Nidhityasana goes deep inside, and he understands better and better. His faith in the scriptures become better and better, deeper and deeper, and that brings control of the mind, and control of the mind makes the grace of God come in the form of right understanding. That is what is called buddhi. Buddhi yogam dadamyaham dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. So that understanding is the only result. What is the understanding? That I belong to God, and I am part of God, and I am God. Stages. So once he understands that, then a sea change, complete change, comes into his body, mind, and everything. What does he do? This is what the 19th verse is telling us. Yo mam eva asammodaha janati purushottama. So sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. He who undeluded knows me thus as the Supreme Self. He knows all, O Arjuna, and he worships me with all his heart. Again, one of the most compressed, zipped, and having depths of meaning is 19th verse. This is the first part, first line of the half of the shloka. Yo, that is Bharata, E Arjuna, if he followed my teachings, evam, what does he become? Asammodaha bhavati. He becomes asammodaha. Modaha means deluded, ignorant. Asammodaha means person of knowledge, right understanding. He becomes. Then what happens? Saha, as a result of that, getting rid of the ignorance, mam purushottamam janati. Mam, me, Purushottamam, the Supreme Reality, Supreme Person, Janati, he knows. How does he know? I am that Supreme Purusha. And this is verified the last chapter, 18th chapter, when Krishna asks only one question of Arjuna. Did you hear my teaching with alertness, with concentration? If you had, like a patient who follows the prescriptions of the physician. The only way to know he has followed a good physician's instructions, he must be getting rid of his disease. And Arjuna also tells categorically, Nashto mohaha smrite labdha tvat prasadan maya achyuta karishye vachanam tava. There is no two ways about it. My delusion is gone. Now, smriti labdha. I obtained the smriti. What is the smriti? Smriti means memory. Earlier we used that word, mattah smriti jnanam apohanancha. From me only the gifts of knowledge through experience and memory of my experiences and the art of forgetfulness, all these are tremendous gifts of God. They all belong to me. I bestow them upon a person upon whom I am pleased. And I am pleased upon a person who deserves it, who is ready to receive it. So, such a person, Purushottamam Janati, he knows in what form I am divine, I am part of the divine, I am none other than divine. Then what happens? So, Sarvavit, in every possible way, Sarvabhavena, in every possible way, so sa sarvavit, he becomes sarvavit. Vit means a knower. Knower of what? Sarva, everything. The knower of everything becomes the knower of everything. Sarvagnaha. What is that knowing everything? Everything is nothing but God. I am also one of the everything, so I am also God. Then what happens? Sarvabhavena mam bhajati. In every way, he worships me. What does this word worship mean? If a person has some faith in God, he worships God with rituals, with flowers, with fruits, with offerings. A little more advanced person, he thinks this body belongs to God, this mind also belongs to God, this world also belongs to God, everything belongs to God, so I belong to God. This knowledge is the result of that devotion. So everything, this who is eating, Bhagwan is eating. Who is seeing, Bhagwan is seeing. Who is listening, Bhagwan is listening. Who is the guru, Bhagwan is the guru. Who is the disciple, God is the disciple. Recollect, the devotees of Sri Ramakrishna should recollect one of the beautiful, memorable statements of Sri Ramakrishna narrating the story of Shukadeva. Goes and then Shukadeva was sent to Janaka Maharaja. And why did you come? I want to know Brahman. All right, give me the fee, Guru Dakshina. And Shukadeva said, how come? You have not even started teaching me. You have not even told me that you are going to teach me. And you are demanding the fee. First, that is all. He was practicing credit card. First I will enjoy, then I will pay later on. Janaka said, God doesn't work with credit cards. First to pay, then only I might not give. So, Janaka's beautiful reply was, once I give you this teaching, you will not see that I am the guru and you are the disciple. Who gives to whom? And who taught whom? You might even claim, I have taught you instead of your acknowledging that I taught you. So, better you give me your fees. This is a funny statement, but profoundly insightful statement. So, Sarvabhavena Bhajati. If he is a tamasic devotee, not very advanced, he takes help of idols, icons and images and worships, goes on pilgrimage. If he is a little more advanced, he sits, does more japa, more dhyana and studies scriptures and he remembers, meditates upon the lotus feet of the Guru and merges them in the lotus feet of God and ultimately sitting in the, feeling the presence of God, he meditates. But when this is called Rajasic meditation. And when he becomes Sattvika Purusha, then all these things drop off by themselves. He need not give up. Things will give him up. And then he is only वन् नालेज् सर्वत्र समदर्शनः प्रेमार्पण समदर्शन हि बिकम्स् इम्ब्यूड् वित् लव् बिकास् हि सीस् नन् अदर् देन् हिस् ओन् सेल्फ् सीस् नन् अदर् देन् गाड् हू इस् हिस् ओन् सेल्फ् देर् फोर् हि सीस् सर्वं जगत् ब्रह्ममयं सर्वं रे रे ब्रह्ममयं सदाशिव ब्रह्मेन्द्रास् कीर्तना इस् देर् खेलति ब्रह्माण्डे भगवान् परमात्माहं परिपूर्णोऽहं सो वाट् डस् दि दिस् सात्विक भक्ता डु सिम्प्लि रिमैन्स् वित् दट् एटिट्यूड् ऐ एम् दट् अहं ब्रह्मास्मि एण्ड् देन् वाट् एवर् हेपन्स् थ्रू हिस् बाडि एण्ड् मैण्ड् वी आर् सेयिङ्ग् हिस् बाडि एण्ड् मैण्ड् हि डज़न्ट् से मै बाडि एण्ड् मैण्ड् हि सेज़् मै बाडि इस् आल्सो देहो देवालयो प्रोक्तो सो देह इस् देवालय इट् इस् अ टेम्पल् इट् बिलाङ्ग्स् टु गाड् बिकास् गाड् रिसैड्स् इन् दिस् टेम्पल् गाड् रिसैड्स् इन् दिस् वर्ल्ड् गाड् रिसैड्स् इन् मी गाड् इस् ओन्ली दि टेम्पल् दि वन् हू रिसैड्स् इन् दि टेम्पल् इस् आल्सो गाड् दि कन्स्ट्रक्टर् इस् आल्सो गाड् दि वर्षिपर् इस् आल्सो गाड् दि वन् हू रिसीव्स् वर्षिपर् इस् आल्सो गाड् दिस् इस् काल्ड् सर्वभावेन अगेन् we can take some other meaning. We can see Sri Ramakrishna's life. So sometimes, when devotees are there, he goes to the mother's temple and before climbing up, he takes off his shoes and then he climbs and very reverently, he will hold his cloth, wearing cloth, above his shoulders and he prostrates. This is for the, to set an example to the that kind of devotees who understands only that one. Then one day when he was at Kasipur, Ramlal Dada, his nephew, came. And then Ramlal Dada asked Sri Ramakrishna, don't you feel that you, don't you long to see Dakshineswar where you lived for such a long time? Sri Ramakrishna instantaneously, spontaneously, he says, why is not mother here? That is, he sees the same divinity everywhere. And one day in Kasipur, I think in Shampukur, it was Kali Puja day, Sri Ramakrishna asked some devotees that you make arrangements for the worship of Mother Kali. And they thought, perhaps Sri Ramakrishna wants to do a simple worship. He was very sick at that time. But every arrangement was made, flowers, sandal paste, fruits, everything was there. But everybody was sitting quiet and everybody is wondering. Suddenly Sri Ramakrishna gave an insight into Girish Chandra Ghosh's mind. Immediately he jumped up, Jai Ma Kali, he took the flowers and poured at the feet of Sri Ramakrishna. In an instant, Sri Ramakrishna assumed the figure of Mother Kali with his human hands. There he first, he says, God is going to the temple. God is in the temple, God is in holy places. Second, God is everywhere. Third, I am that God. So, according to the will of God, if such certain kinds of people come, this Jivan Mukta, living free, worships God according to the understanding of those tamasic devotees, according to the attitude of the rajasic devotees, according to the Sattvika devotees, Sarvabhavena. Sarvabhava means seeing God everywhere, whatever he does. So, yadyat karomi tatta dakhilam shambho tava aradhanam. Whatever I do, when I am eating, you are eating. When I am, my legs are moving, it is circumambulating you. When my hands are moving, I am dancing. When I am speaking, I am praising you, stotras, hymns. When I am singing, again I am worshipping you. So through manasa, vachasa, kaya, through the mind, through the speech, through the body, everything becomes worshipful. With this, the 15th chapter is over, but there is one last shloka. Having completed it, why, what did he say in the 19th? O Arjuna, the goal of every spiritual sadhaka is to see me everywhere in every way and worship me in every way. And how to worship, that is elaborated in the next chapter. But the Lord concludes, Iti guhyatamam shastram idam uktam maya anagha etat buddhva buddhiman syat krita krityascha bharata. So some people may have doubt. Okay, sir. Okay, Bhagavan, you have taught the whole thing. I think at least something I have understood. But what do I gain by this? What is the result? What is the phala of this sadhana? That is what the Bhagavan is wrapping up. Says, thus, O sinless Arjuna, has this most profound teaching been imparted by me to you. By knowing it, man becomes wise, O Bharata, and fulfills all his duties. Very beautiful word. This word called, last word, Krita Krityascha. I will come to that. Bhagavan is addressing Arjuna as Anagha. Anagha means sinless. Sinless means pure. Pure means he who completely surrenders to God and does only what the devotee thinks God is pleased with, that only I will do. And whatever God I know is not pleased with, I will not even think about it. Such a person is called Anagha, pure-minded person. In such a mind, truth flashes. Bharata, that means Arjuna, another name. Iti, now I am concluding this. Iti is often used in Sanskrit to indicate the completion of either a paragraph or a chapter or a book. Here it is the 15th chapter. Idam guhyatamam shastram. I am teaching you this guhyatamam. Guhya means secret. Sacred. Tamam means most secret. Shastram. Shastram means here teaching. Spiritual teaching. I am giving you. Maya uktam. Mind you, these are not ordinary words. This is the greatest secret I told you. And then, what do we gain? Etat buddhva. One who understands it. What does he become? Buddhiman bhavati. We have to supply that word bhavati. Buddhiman bhavati. He becomes the most intelligent person. Who is intelligent? According to Sri Ramakrishna, he who can love God and obtain moksha, that is called intelligence. And everything else is worldly intelligence. So knowing this most sacred as well as secret scripture, and one can understand only when one practices, and to the extent one practices, all the characteristics that have been enumerated in this very chapter, in the second chapter, in the sixth chapter, in the 12th chapter, in the 13th chapter, and going to come in the future chapters also, practicing them, slowly the man gets rid of all impurities. The less the impurities, the more is the light, the more is the light, the more is the understanding, the more is the understanding, ultimately every understanding culminates in one understanding, that I am divine. What does he become? Then he becomes free. And this is indicated by this word, Krita Kritya Syat. As if he had done everything in this world. Krita Kritya means, Kritya means that which must be done. It is imperative sense. Imperative means you have to get up and you have to brush your teeth. Then you have to attend your school or your office at by this time. It is not an option. If you want to catch an aeroplane, a bus, a train, you will have to reach at this particular time. They don't go according to your wish unless you are in India and unless you are a powerful MLA or MP or a minister, then everything will wait for you. But this will not happen usually in the advanced, what is called developed Western countries. So what happens? Krita Kritya. That is, Kritya means whatever the scripture ordains, do it. Shashati iti shastraha. Scripture is one which commands do this and don't do this. Now, every action gives its own particular result. You drink coffee, gives one result. Drink liquor, gives another result. Drink poison, gives another. So if you want different results, you will have to do many different activities. But here the Lord is saying that as if at once a man has done infinite amount of actions and he got what result? Infinite result. What is the infinite result? I got the infinity. Because God is infinite and I got it not for a short time, I got God for eternity. Infinity and eternity. That is the result of performing every action. Divided action gives divided fruit, but undivided, wholesome action gives only wholesome fruit, which is God realization. With this 15th chapter, according to me, one of the most marvelous chapters in this whole Bhagavad Gita, in the whole of scriptures, I would say. So, is over by God's grace. Now, I will give you a brief summary of the 15th chapter. This 15th chapter has got 20 shlokas, 20 verses. It is one of the two shortest chapters in this Bhagavad Gita. One is the 12th chapter called Bhakti Yoga, which has 20, and here is 15th chapter, which has 20 shlokas are there. Now, many people learn it. Why? Because especially monks, renouncers, when they are given a feast, this recitation of this 15th chapter is a must. That is one reason. And second reason, funny reason, in a feast, normally more than what one usually eats and very special dishes are served, like rice pudding, sweets, special fruits, etc. And to digest them, we need the help of Bhagavan. So the Lord confirms, whoever takes my name, I assist him by digesting his food in the form of Vaishvanaro Bhutva Pachamyanam Chaturvidham. Whatever type of food you have eaten, I will help you assist. So it is a unspoken prayer, O Lord, out of greediness, out of my desire for eating many tasty things, I have overeaten. Please help me to digest, because it is only in your name the feast is given. Secondly, this is one of the shortest chapters, easy to memorize. Third, but the most important reason is that this chapter is the essence of every scripture in this world. The essence of all the Vedas, Puranas, Upanishads and Bible, Quran, everything is comprised in this. So, we already have seen that one, but in summary I will give you. So, we can divide the whole 20 shlokas into 5 topics. What is the first topic? The Lord is describing the creation of this world. Samsara Vananam. This worldly life. What is the description? That the whole world is created by God, and whatever, like a pot is created out of clay, so everything is imbued with divinity. So if the effect is, if the cause is divine, the effect also will be divine. Whatever is the effect, that must partake the very nature of the cause. If God is the cause, God is Satchidananda, the whole world cannot be different from Satchidananda. Therefore, not only every object in this world which is experienced, the experiencer Jiva, both are nothing but God, because the cause of both is none other than that Paramatma. And the Lord compared the world with a big tree, and with this huge tree, roots are above, meaning they are coming from God, and there are billions of branches are there, billions of birds are sitting. We are all different types of birds, and this yields raw fruit and a little ripe fruit, a little more riper fruit, and very sweet fruit at different stages. Different birds sitting at different levels, that means different lokas, branches are compared to 14 lokas. They go on enjoying the bitter or sweeter fruits. Why do they enjoy bitter or sweet? Because of their own past karma. So the analogy like Mundaka Upanishad, Dva, Suparna, Sayuja, Sakaya, Samanam, Riksham, Parishaswajate. So slowly, when you eat bitter fruit, you become a little more discriminative and you give up what causes unhappiness and hop up a little bit and thus slowly progress and ultimately reach Paramatma, who is like the bird who is perched on the uppermost branch, who is none other than your own self. This is the first topic. Then what is the second topic? I told you, Arjuna, that the whole world and including the Jivatma is the creation of Ishvara, God, whose nature is divine. So world also is divine. Jivatma is also divine. But if I tell you, you will not believe me. To understand that what I told you is the highest truth, you will have to perform certain sadhanas. Those sadhanas for spiritual disciplines conducive to spiritual progress and finally to spiritual liberation have been outlined in the, as the second topic. And third topic will be that again, what is this world? Who is the Jivatma? Then he says, I created the world, I sustain the world in the form of the sun, the moon, the fire. And I supply sustenance in the form of food to every creature. But in the form of digestive fire, thus I again digest, help the jiva to, I convert the food into energy. From the sun, food is supplied, energy is supplied, but you cannot have energy, but I convert that food again into energy so that you can progress in spiritual life. That is the only ultimate purpose. Of course, from the inorganic to the organic, to the one-celled, to the multi-celled, and then slowly to worms, then birds, then trees, then animals, then human beings, etc. As I said, we are all, everyone is standing on the escalator called evolution. Finally, the evolution will take us to from where we started, from where the involution started, which is God. This is the third topic. And then the fourth topic is that everything is, the whole world is Brahmanaha of Supreme Lord's Purushottamatvam. Everything is divine. Uttama Purusha, Supreme Reality. And the final topic is, what do I gain by this? Just now, as I mentioned, that you become liberated from this entire world of this one. These are the five topics, but I will only take you to that last topic. What is it? The Lord says, whatever sadhana you do, it's my grace. If you have faith, if you have knowledge, that's my grace. Mattaha smritihi jnanam apohanam. From me alone comes this experience is there. But do we convert the experience into useful discriminative knowledge? For that we require Bhagavan's grace. That's why he says that take refuge. Yata pravrutihi prasruta Purani, this timeless, beginningless creation, from whom it has come, in whom it is being sustained, and ultimately whom it realizes, you must surrender yourself totally to that divine reality. This is called Sharanagati. And I have to remind you, the greatest exponent and proponent, not only proponent, but exponent, but the greatest propagator of spiritual path is Ramanuja. And Sri Ramakrishna's teachings closely follow, as far as sadhana is concerned, Ramanuja's path. First, what is? The path of devotion. And ultimately, the path of devotion must culminate in the path of Sharanagati. complete surrender. So every accomplishment of a surrendership must fulfill 6 conditions. What are they? Anukulasya sankalpaha, pratikulasya varjanam, vakshishyasiti vishwasaha, goptrutva varanam, atmanikshepaha, karpanye, iti shadvidha sharanagati. So what is the sharanagati? First thing is, through lot of lives, the organic, inorganic becomes after long, long time into a human life. There also after many, many births, he acquires. What is it? 3 things are available only by God's grace. Manushyatvam, Mumukshutvam, Mahapurusha Samshayaha. And a human birth is most necessary. That's why every scripture lords that how fortunate we are to be born as a human being. Do not waste this human opportunity. Do not become a donkey, dog. So, if we look around, see, people are making themselves the worst type of, even animals never do this kind of damage. It's only human beings who do. But then, we are all potentially divine. We learn our lesson. If you do not come, my child, through good right means, there is the dregs of drinking, the liquid of misery will ultimately bring you to my own feet. I think this was a beautiful poem written by an English poet, probably was a Taylor, I am not sure about it. Anyway, so this Saranagati, what is it? That I have complete faith in the scripture. And then what should I do? If I have faith, I will do what meets the approval of the Lord. Anukulasya. What pleases the Lord? I take a vow. I will not do anything which will displease the Lord. I will do everything that pleases the Lord. First step is, I will do whatever pleases the Lord. Why this is the first step? Because giving up must be substituted first by taking recourse to its opposite. Pratipaksha bhavana is a well-known thing. If we want to give up a bad habit, you can't give up a bad habit. You must try to cultivate the opposite good habit. And the more we cultivate this good habit, you don't need to do anything. The bad habit automatically will fall down. That's what he said. The more you advance towards the east, the west recedes further. This is one of the important teachings of Sri Ramakrishna. He is echoing this Patanjali's Pratipaksha Bhavanam. Think of the opposite. So, first try to do what pleases the Lord. And that brings the grace of Guru, grace of God, and it will slowly remove the impurities. That is what is called Pratikula Varjanam. Whatever displeases the Lord slowly falls back. We don't need to do anything. And when I have sufficiently practiced this, what happens? Then that firm faith that only God is capable of saving. Nobody else is capable of saving. Look at this world. All the bad news we are getting every minute. Who can save? Which human being? Which country? Which powerful nation? Which powerful leader has the power even to remove 1 billionth of the misery of even a single human being? None. Only people are talkers, that's all. Big, big talk. So what are we talking about? Here the Lord is talking about the Sharanagati. What is the third step? Only God can save. Rakshishyasiti Vishwasa. Vishwasa means firm faith. Then after that, the fourth automatic step is, since only God can save me and the world, everybody, I completely choose God as my savior. This is called Sharanagati. Fourth step. Having chosen God, it will not do that simply saying, going on weeping, "Oh Lord, I prayed to you, so much pujas I have done, and why did this happen to me? Why did the other thing happen to my grandson, granddaughter, grandfather, grandmother? my great-grandfather should not have died. How many times I prayed? No, this is wrong. What is it? Completely atmanikshepaha. You transfer your entire duties, burden, everything onto the shoulders of God. Like a baby, you sit in the lap of the mother and let the mother do everything. What does my baby need? Everything, etc. So this is called atmanikshepaha. Then after having faith, God alone can save. That is the third step. Fourth step is choosing deliberately that I will not think of anything excepting God. And the fifth step is I transfer. That means I will never worry why is the world going like that, why is this thing happening in my life, and who is going to help me? Never. Just look at a baby. A baby never thinks what is going. Look at a worm. Does the worm think what is going to happen next second to me? We can learn lot of lessons from a worm also. So, complete transference of all my worries, all my thoughts. Of course, it doesn't happen overnight. It takes a long time. So, once we have done that, then we look back and say, oh Lord, I am so happy. I am like a baby and I can play and I just eat and drink, as Sri Ramakrishna used to say, my mother knows everything. And that feeling, all this was possible. My birth is because of you. My human birth is because of you. My guru is because of you. My spiritual inclination is because of you. My holy company is because of you. And my progress in spiritual life is because of you. My pitfalls also are because of you. Because I have learned lot of lessons. And finally, my complete surrender to you is also because of you. Without you, nothing could have been accomplished. This feeling of complete humility, non-egotistic bhavana attitude is called karpanye. Iti karpanye. Iti shadvidha sharanagatihi. And that is what Sri Ramakrishna also has told us. Then what is the topic? If we can do it, then what happens? That in two verses he says that thereafterwards, the spiritual aspirant, whatever he does, is a worship of God because he sees only God and he becomes what? Kritakrityaha. His life is blessed. Everybody becomes blessed by even hearing about him or seeing him or reading about, following his pictures, remembering him, worshipping him. He becomes holy of the holy called Tirthi. He creates holy places. Not only he becomes blessed, he blesses the entire world. And that is the end of this cycle of so seemingly eternal transmigration. This is the end of the 15th chapter. Tomorrow we will take up the beginning of the 16th chapter. Om Vasudeva Sutam Devam Kamsachano Ramartanam Devaki Paramanandam Krishnam Vande Jagadgurum. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with the Sharanagati. Jai Ramakrishna.